School's out for summer, but that's not stopping some 14,000 educators from gathering in Philadelphia at this year's annual International Society for Technology and Education Conference and Expo. On hand at the convention and here to take us to school is Education Week staff writer Ben Harreld. Ben, welcome back to Newsworks tonight.
Always good to be here, Dave.
Big crowd. Is it part education conference, part trade show?
That's exactly right. What you see is a ton of vendors from companies around the country who are trying to sell technology to schools. And there's a huge market for them. They sell about $8 billion worth of computers, tablets, software, curriculum each year. And then there's a ton of the teachers, administrators, and even students who actually use that stuff every day who come to talk about, you know, how they're using technology in the classroom.
And of course, it varies from district to district, the extent to which they're immersed in this new technology.
That's right. Some districts are now one-to-one with every student and every teacher with their own computer or laptop. And, you know, some districts are getting rid of print textbooks altogether and going all digital. Other districts like Philadelphia are taking more kind of tentative steps in that direction. But the really exciting thing is to see, you know, kids from around the country who are really doing some really, really compelling and interesting stuff with this technology when they get the chance to play.
For example,
I met a group of fifth graders from Kentucky who live in a very rural town, and they had actually developed a system on their own that allows any farmer with a smartphone to scan a tag on their cow's ears and get the complete health history for that cow. And it was something these kids had come up with as part of their technology club.
And fifth graders.
Fifth graders. Met a 10-year-old girl who talked me through the whole thing, how she built a database and learned QR codes and stuff that I don't even really understand, frankly. But they had done it, and the farmers in the local community were very grateful for it. And, you know, now she's hooked on technology.
And in the course of this convention, it's a matter of jazzing up the attendees, saying perhaps you can do this too at your district.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about how to make sure all this technology is actually used for good and not just spending taxpayer dollars. And, you know, that's really, frankly, the challenge. What we see a lot is that districts will buy devices, buy curriculum, buy all of this stuff, but not necessarily have a good vision or plan for how it can be used. And it gets in the classroom, and it's either used for very basic things like, you know, practicing basic skills or kind of what they call drill and kill, or sometimes it just sits on a shelf and it never gets used at all.
Now, you cited some districts even have a one-to-one ratio. Is that the best in terms of the results? Are we seeing that those kids perform best?
I think part of the problem is there's still very limited research, you know, peer-reviewed, academic, rigorous research that talks about how all of this technology actually impacts learning. So you hear a lot of anecdotes, both good and bad, but because it's all so new, I mean, if you remember, the iPad was only introduced in 2010, the research cycle is a little bit slower. And so, you know, even though we're spending all this money on it, we still really don't know exactly how it works.
You have me jazzed by that example in Kentucky. Does another one come to mind?
I actually met a group of high school students from around New York City who are part of a group called Mouse Corps. And so what they do is they get together, you know, from across the city every Tuesday, and they actually build their own technologies. And what they're working on now is building assistive technologies to help individuals with cerebral palsy be able to better access computers. So they had actually essentially gotten a video game joystick and modified it and then hacked the software so that they and turned it into a tool that someone with cerebral palsy who had limited access, you know, could only use her right hand, was able to use that as a tool to navigate around a computer and type with the joystick. And again, just very powerful stuff. And, you know, what I think you see is when kids are given both the opportunity and the resources and a project that allows them to try and make a difference in their own communities, they do some really, really amazing things.
You cited at the top that this is an $8 billion industry to date. Is it growing every year?
It's growing exponentially, and I think what you find is that as more and more districts want to go one-to-one with computers or laptops, and as more and more districts and states are mandated to administer standardized tests online, there's a lot of forces at work that are kind of forcing districts to go digital.
Ben, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Education Week staff writer Ben Harreld.